Well, good morning. Man, it is good to see Peachtree Church again. We are so grateful for the opportunity to be back here. Thankful for the invitation to be with you today. We've been away from here now for 8 years, and I can stand before you today with a clean conscience. I can say to you that under no circumstances, even though we live now in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, we will never cheer for the Phillies, okay? Not by any means. And if the Eagles make it to a divisional championship game, or if they are in the Super Bowl, which I think since we've been gone, has actually happened a couple of times. And win in Rome, right? In fact, I think one of those days, Marnie actually preached at our church, Grace Church Bethlehem. I think you preached in a Eagles jersey that day. So, yes, she did it, right? So,
half of the UGA team ends up.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm being reminded that half of the UGA football team is ending up, and so maybe we'll be a little more supportive, right? I guess we can manage that. It's really great to be with you guys. I have been following this series from a distance, especially through the monthly podcast that Rich has been doing. I guess you could kind of say I'm auditing the class. Did any of you audit a class in school? But I've got a blue overflow notebook, and I love the way you guys have been doing spiritual practices all year long. This month, as you're certainly familiar with by now, you're looking at the practices of listening and discernment. And it's been interesting to think about how those two things really go together. It's really, really hard to separate or distinguish the practice of listening to God from the practice of discernment. And my particular focus today is to talk a little more with you about what discernment is and kind of get a picture of that and maybe how it works. I want to introduce you to a guy that many of you know him, but you don't know that you know him. This is Royal Huddleston Burpee. He earned a PhD in applied physiology from Columbia University, and in 1939, he innovated a particular exercise movement that bears his name to this day. The burpee. Have any of you ever done a burpee? All right, see, you hate this man and you didn't even know it. In World War II, the United States Armed Services adopted the burpee as the standard of fitness for incoming recruits. That was how they would measure the level of fitness for recruits that were coming into the Army. And I, at the risk of a kind of a difficult analogy, it occurred to me that a burpee is really a composite movement. Many of you have done this. You go down like into a plank. Now the way it's done, you do a push-up, you pop back on your feet, and you either stand up like a squat, or actually now you jump. A number of movements to make up one singular thing that we call a burpee. I want to suggest to you that discernment is the burpee of spiritual practices. Which means many of you will think, well, then I never want to do it again, ever. But what I mean is simply this: discernment is really a composite practice. Discernment assumes prayer. It assumes that you are in connection with other people, a community. It assumes that you spend time alone in silence and solitude that I think you've just looked at. It assumes that you are regularly engaging with the written word of God, that you're opening the Bible. If any one of those things is neglected or ignored, it is really difficult for you to discern well. On one level, discernment, there's really nothing that spiritual about it. Everyone you know practices discernment all the time. When you go to the grocery store and buy bananas, you practice discernment. How green are those bananas? How fast do you eat bananas? When I've been very aware this weekend being here, you folks drive in this city all the time. 8 years away, you can kind of forget. You lose your skills. You lose your skills in Atlanta traffic. But you're practicing discernment all the time. When you're making a right-hand turn on red, when you're trying to get through an intersection. Discernment is really just kind of a sorting out. But in your life with Jesus, it takes on a far greater significance. The podcast that Rich did this month with Ruth Haley Barton, they talked in the most fundamental way of simply being attuned. Attuned and attentive to the presence and the work of God around you all the time. That God is always at work. But maybe specifically, for some of you today, discernment speaks to a particular situation that you're facing and you simply don't know how to move forward. You don't know what's next. Discernment is about hearing, being attentive to the inner witness of the Spirit. Years ago, Gordon T. Smith wrote a book called The Voice of Jesus, and at the very beginning of the book, paragraph number one, he said that there are two questions that every follower of Jesus should be able to answer. Question number one, what is Jesus saying to you at this particular moment in your life? In your circumstances, in your network of relationships, in the responsibilities that you live with every day, the callings on your life, if you will, what is Jesus saying to you? Question number two, how do you know that Jesus is speaking and not something or someone else? How do you know that what you're hearing is this inner witness, that's Gordon Smith's phrase, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit? Those two questions, what is Jesus saying? How do you know that it's Jesus? Jesus in John 10 was speaking of himself as a good shepherd. And as he was talking about how he leads us as the good shepherd, he said, when he has brought out all his own, speaking of this good shepherd, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they what? Know his voice. They know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Those two phrases, knowing the voice and recognizing the voice, that speaks to discernment. In 1 John 4, John writes, telling us to test the spirits. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. To examine, to look carefully at, to test the spirits. But how do we do that? Today I want to look at a story with you from the Old Testament. I feel like I've known this story my whole life. It's about Samuel at a very young age and how God came and spoke to him, but Samuel did not recognize the voice. And in this text, there is both listening and discernment. So as we read it, I want to kind of invite you, pay attention to where you see those two things. And how do they come together? Where do they connect? Listening and discernment. If you've got a Bible, it's in 1 Samuel 3, or if you use a device, or you can just follow on the screens. I want to read with you verses 1 to 10. This may be a very familiar story to many of you. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down again. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." It's an interesting thing to me how the word listening shows up in this story. Samuel is listening. But there is in the story a moment of discernment. And that comes from Eli. Eli realizes the voice that Samuel is hearing. Samuel gets up again and again. Eli discerns. What I really had thought would be great to do for a message like this would be to offer you a very straightforward, simple formula for how to discern with whatever you might be facing. Here's what to do. Here's how to discern. And while we've already said, you know, it's a composite practice. It involves prayer. It involves talking with other people. It involves silence and solitude. It involves scripture. There's really not a formula for this. The Bible rarely gives us techniques or formulas, but we get stories that show how God works with us. And so today, what I really want to do is simply encourage you. You can do this. You were meant to discern the inner witness of the Spirit. You were meant to recognize the voice of Jesus. I had someone ask me after the first service, they had a really good question about the difficulty of talking about this because we don't really hear an audible, we don't hear an audible voice. And yet our God is a speaking God. God speaks. So from this story, there are a few things that I'd want you to notice and pay attention to. First of all, God is patient in his speaking. He comes again and again and again. I don't know if any of you, and I think now I'm especially talking to maybe parents, grandparents. I don't know if any of you have even maybe had this said to you. Have you ever in a moment of just kind of impatience, have you ever said, I'm not going to say this again. I'm not going to say it again. And then almost always, we end up saying it again, right? Louder. Or maybe you've said, I'm only going to say it once. I'm only going to say this one time. And God doesn't do that. That's one of the things that's so compelling about this story. This is not a story about how young Samuel gets it wrong three times. It's really a story about how God keeps showing up. He shows up again and again and again. Friends, God is patient in speaking with you. He wants you to know his voice. He wants you to hear and to discern. God is not playing games with you. This is not a game of can you figure it out. God wants you to hear from him. And he is patient in the speaking, even if maybe at first we don't quite get it. Over and over again, God patiently speaks. He did it then, he does so now. He is patient with you. But every time God speaks, you might have noticed, he simply speaks a name, a personal name, Samuel. And there's another encouragement in this, I think, because we discern as we listen to our life. Listen to your life. Pay attention to what's happening within you. I think it's this weekend that the movie Inside Out 2 was released in theaters, right? I haven't seen that one yet. Maybe some of you saw the first movie, Inside Out, animated movie. By the way, I saw that this weekend, Inside Out 2 was the largest opening weekend for an animated movie worldwide ever. Huge. The interesting thing about Inside Out is that every animated character represents a piece of the internal world of really the main person in the story, a girl named Riley. We don't see a lot of her. At least not in the first movie, a little bit, but all of the action is what's happening inside of her. Every part of her inner world is animated and takes on a character. Every emotion, fear, joy, anger, sadness, all of it. What is happening inside of you matters. Listen to your life. There's a guy named Adam McHugh who wrote a book called The Listening Life, and he defines discernment this way. He says, discernment involves paying attention to the interior movements of the soul, our thoughts, feelings, impulses, motivations, stirrings, and everything else that happens within us. Discernment is a testing, a sifting through of internal experiences for the sake of embracing the good and turning your back on the bad. Pay attention to your life. God speaks through what is happening inside of you. It matters. It has meaning. God speaks personally over and over again. When he comes to Samuel, he simply says his name. And God says your name. He speaks your name. He speaks to your life. But that leads to a third encouragement, just as important. Listen to someone else, right? Listen to others. Be connected to other people whom you trust with what is going on within you and other people who can speak to that. Every time Samuel gets up, he goes to his mentor, Eli. And the first couple of times, or the first few times, Eli says, nope, you got it wrong. Wasn't me. Wasn't me, Samuel. Go back to bed. Finally, Eli realizes. It's a very just simple word in the NIV translation. Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. He discerned what was happening. And just as much as we listen to our own inner life, we need to listen to others. We need someone else who can speak into our life. Someone who can say to you, have you considered this? Someone who knows you. Someone whom you trust. Listen to your life, but listen to others. And that is so important because while everything within you has meaning and matters, not everything within you should govern how you live your life. Some things are to be especially tended to. Other things, maybe not. Listen to your life, but listen to others. And then finally, probably the most basic encouragement, discern along the way. Discernment is not simply about you waiting until you figure it out. Discernment is not about you predicting outcomes. It's not about you knowing the future. Discernment invites you simply every day to just follow Jesus. And as you follow him, you discern along the way. You follow, and the next thing, the next moment, God will lead. You are simply trusting the grace of God. I shared about this in the last service, and it was confirmed that what I'm describing to you is still on Ashford Dunwoody Road. It's an enduring kind of image of a place for me in the Atlanta area. There's a museum on Ashford Dunwoody Road. I think it said Sproul, the Sproul Museum. Maybe some of you have been by there. There's like a shed on the corner of the property. And I have actually shown this image to our congregation up in Bethlehem. And if you've been by there, you know what I'm talking about. On the side of that shed, they painted it white, and then simply in large black letters, a simple message: everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. And I wonder about the hundreds and hundreds of people who drive on Ashford Dunwoody Road every day and come up to a stoplight and can look at that, the side of that shed, and just see that simple message that everything will be okay. I wonder about the kinds of things they might be living with. I wonder about the kinds of things today that you're living with. Discernment is not about your performance and having to figure things out. Ultimately, discernment rests on God's grace to you. So you take the next step. Just take the next step. Jesus' simple invitation is for you to follow him. Follow me. That's his voice. That is unmistakable. That is without a doubt the voice of Jesus speaking to you: follow me. And as you do, trust him. Just trust him. You do the best you can, and you trust him. You begin this week and follow him, and listen for that voice of the Spirit, a voice that tells you he will be faithful. Everything will be okay. You discern along the way because he wants you to hear him. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful that you are truly a speaking God, that you want us to know you, that you offer us guidance, that every part of our life that concerns us concerns you. So God, would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us wisdom to discern? Would you give us friends and people around us who can speak into our life? And God, each and every day, we will simply walk with you and follow you and trust you for the gift of your grace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.